number 10.
Hymn number 10. There is a Savior.
Amen.
Let's pray. Well, I hope my accent won't be a problem. I am a Brazilian, and of course, I don't speak Shakespeare's language in the right way. But I promise be brief, not 3 minutes, but brief enough to deliver this message that is so precious to the souls of those who already know the Savior, our Lord Jesus Christ. There's a verse in Romans that says, "Let God be true, but every man a liar." Is there any liar here, please? Anyone who is a liar in this room? Oh, there are a bunch of liars here. Oh, wow. And we are not even in a political meeting. And because every man is a liar. Yeah, every man is a liar. This is the Bible says so. The God's word says so. I am a liar. I am a liar. You are a liar. Everyone is a liar. And I would like to show something that I discovered recently. I'm converted since 1978. But only recently I discovered something that I live with a liar. There is someone who lies to me all the time. And I live together with him. And everything, all our problems started with a lie. Usually we think about the Garden of Eden as being the initial point of all the problems that happens in the universe. But it goes behind that. That was before that, that everything really began. And began with a lie. In the book of Ezekiel, chapter 28, verse 14, the Bible says, "Thou art the anointed cherub that covereth, and I have set thee so." This is God speaking. "Thou wast upon the holy mountain of God. Thou hast walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire." And verse 15 says, "Thou wast perfect in thy ways from the day that thou wast created till iniquity was found in thee." Indeed. What iniquity? This is talking about an angel, a cherubim, a very high angel in God's creation. And what kind of iniquity appeared in him, was formed in him, was found in him? Isaiah chapter 14 answers this question. Verse 13. "For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High." Who was that saying this? This angel. We know him by Satan. To whom was he saying this? Nobody but himself. He was lying to himself. Isn't that crazy? He was lying to himself. He was saying that he would be like God, like the Most High. He was lying to himself. And the worst part of it, he believed it. He believed in his own lie. And that was when everything started, with a lie. Not told in public, not told to other people, not told to fool somebody else. Usually lies are, we lie to somebody else because we want to fool, we don't want to pay or something. No, he lied to himself, and that was his ruin. And later we see what happens when he lies to Eve in the Garden of Eden. There comes another lie in Genesis chapter 3, verse 1. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto woman, yeah, hath God said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden? This is a kind of lie too, because he knew what God said, but he just twisted what God said. You can lie just twisting the truth to make your point, the way it helps you, helps your ends. And he twisted the truth and asked the question to Eve. And then what happened? What Eve does? Eve lies. Eve lies also. Genesis 3, verse 2. And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, you shall not eat of it, neither shall you touch it, lest you die. God didn't say, don't touch it. Eve lied. You can lie also putting something else in a truth, adding something to a truth. Then you create a lie. A more long lie, more lengthy lie, but a lie. And then comes Satan again with his lies. And he says in Genesis 3, verse 4, he says, and the serpent said unto the woman, the serpent here is Satan, he appeared as a serpent to Eve. And the serpent said unto the woman, you shall not surely die. And God said she would die. But no, you will not die. For God doth know that in the day you eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and you shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. Here comes a lie, and here comes a promise. And this promise is also a lie, because they would know Adam and Eve. They would know good and evil, but they would have no power to do good, nor to avoid evil. So, a lie. Satan tells a lie. He believes in his own lie. Eve tells a lie. She believes in her own lie. And this is the way the world goes since then. And we are lying all the time. And we are believing our own lies. Because every time you say to yourself something that's not true, you are trying to fool yourself. We like to be fooled. We like, because, okay, I want something. I convince myself first of that thing. I lie to myself. I believe it. And then I go and I do what I shouldn't. Take, for instance, a drug addict. How did his addiction begin? With a lie. Okay, the guy who sold the drug said he would feel good. No, that was not a lie. That was true. He would feel good. He would feel wonderful. He would feel Superman. But who lied to him? Himself. He said to himself, I heard this thing is not good for me. It may cause trouble. I may get sick or something. But I will just try, just once. And then he goes. And then later, how bad could it be to try again? Just one more time. And then I will stop. And he believes in himself. And he does. And now he is in the rehab because he cannot leave the drug anymore. And who will he blame? Oh, the society, the guy who sells drugs? No, he is the the guilty one. He is to be blamed because he lied to himself that he would do that just one time, and he lied and he believed his lie. He is the one who be blamed for that. We live in a society that we like to blame everyone else, you know. Oh, there's crime. Oh, that's the government. Oh, that's the police. No one likes to point the finger to his own chest and say, I am the wrong one. I am the one who did wrong. I am the guilty one. We always point the fingers to somebody else. Satan in John chapter, the Lord Jesus talking about Satan in John chapter 8 verse 44. He said to the religious people in Israel, you are of your father, the devil. John 8:44. And the lusts of your father you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. He's talking about Satan. Talking to whom? Oh, criminals. Oh, drug dealers. Oh, bad people. No, he's talking to religious people. Because the greatest liars are religious people. Because they lie to themselves that if they do this and this and this, they will be a bad person and they will go to heaven, or they go to paradise, or they go wherever they want to go. They lie to themselves that they can get salvation, or whatever they call that, just doing this and doing that and being better than the other person. They lie to, this is religion. Religion is full of lies, because puts all the way of salvation upon man. And that's a lie. And the one who invented the lie was Satan. And the Lord Jesus is saying this to religious guys and religious people, not to any evil person, but religious people. One of the worst things, I've been preaching the gospel over the internet, and the greatest opposition I get is not from infidels or robbers or criminals, is from religious. Religious. A religious person sent me an email and saying, and prophesied, you know, prophesied. Like this. I prophesize that illness will enter your house. This is a person that goes to a church, because he didn't like the gospel of grace, the grace of God. He is so he likes so much that religion that he thinks that anyone who goes against it must be evil, an evil person. So he prophesies evil to me or anyone who is in his way. Perhaps you say, I never lie. But I found out in the beginning that I have an audience of liars. But perhaps someone here says, I never lie. Okay. What about all the software in your computer? Are they all original? Any pirates? Anyone is just, you got with a friend, and perhaps you bought in the black market, or don't have to answer, please. Better not. But then you lie again. You lie again. You know, you do that and you lie again. Say, everybody does that. Who doesn't? Have you ever parked your car where you should not? And then you lied to yourself saying, it's just 1 minute. Did you steal anything from the company you work for? Oh, no, that not. No, you never do that. No, not even a pen. That is stealing. Paper. All those copies you took because you didn't want to buy the book for the school, and then you went when no one was looking in the company, you put the book there, thick like this, a big book, and copy, put everything in your backpack and went home. That is stealing. Have you ever made your boss think you were working? Huh? You're doing nothing, and then the boss passes in front of you, you just like move the papers on your table. That's lying. Who do you think you're fooling? That's lying. Do you text while you drive? I don't know, in the United States, that is not allowed. I think that's against the law to drive and text in your cell phone. Okay, do you do that? That's lying. You're lying to yourself that will not happen an accident. You say, no, that won't happen to me. Because bad things happen to the neighbor, not to myself. You are lying to yourself. Have you ever told the beggar in the street, oh, sorry, I don't have money? That's a lie, isn't it? Because you told yourself, he should work. Why, he's a strong person, why? That's a lie. So there's no way someone can say, I don't lie. And if you lie, you're in trouble. If you lie in a judgment, I don't know how is the law here in the United States, but I know in Brazil, you are in a judgment. You come as a witness, and then you promise to tell the truth on the truth, nothing else but the truth, and then you lie to the judge. In Brazil, you go out from the court, you say, with handcuffs. And you did nothing wrong the whole life. You are a very good person. But for some reason you lied to the judge, and the judge knew you were lying to him. You go to jail. You go straight to jail. And there is one judge that is God. There is one judge that is the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of Man, who will judge all men. And he is the Son of Man. He's called this name, this title, the Son of Man. It's very interesting because it's not a God that lives in heaven, that knows nothing about what is being a human being, that will judge sinners. No. He's a man. A man who is also God, the Son of God, who will judge men. Man will be judged by a man. Because a man knows what men feel. The way men do, the way men behave. That is why everywhere in the Bible when judgment is talking about, Christ is called the Son of Man. God won't be unfair with men. He will send a man to judge men. So there's a pattern in our mind. We lie, we believe in our lie, and then we lie again. And this brings sin to our life. Some people don't know what sin. Well, sin is the lack of how can I explain? The lack of I wouldn't say law, but anything that drives you. Like you are a car with no driver, that's a sinful car, let's call. So you know it will hit this tree and go across this street and fall in this is basically a very bad but idea of what sin is, what a sinner is. It's like a driver that a car that does whatever it wants to do. You know, one thing that I work with marketing, and I work with women, human behavior. And it's a very interesting field to work with, because when the business started, B2C, the e-commerce, internet business started, many companies just closed down, just could not go on. One of those was a British company. They were the pioneers selling dresses for women on the web. And you know why they lost lots of money? Because women lie. And if a woman buys a dress in the internet, when they put that little figure with all the measurements and everything, you have to just fill the blanks. Okay, my body is this and this, and my legs is like this. What they found out is that women always put a little bit less. And when the dress would arrive to her home, she would say, oh, they sent me the wrong dress. This is not the one I bought. And they would send back to the store. So they had to raise the prices to cover that, because women lie. I ask you, when you go to the doctor, I don't know if usually when we go to a doctor in Brazil, first comes a nurse. And say, okay, step on that scale, let's see. But before she does that, she asks you, how much do you weigh? Does anyone here tell the truth in that moment? She will probably say, how much would you like to weigh? Because when you step there, she says, oh, hey, sir, no. That's perhaps because yesterday I ate a little bit more. Not that much, but there's a book. There's an author. He studies human behavior. He's an Israeli author. I wrote the name of the book here. The Honest Truth About Dishonesty. How we lie to everyone, especially ourselves. And this is a very interesting thing he shows in this book, because he did many research. His name is Dan Ariely. I think this is the way we spell, we say. He found out that when they put a vending machine in a university with other vending machines, and that one, they prepare it to give the money back. You know what happened? That was the best-selling machine in the university. Every student would buy from that selling machine and would never tell the school what was going on. They would tell all the other students, hey, go to that machine. Because this is the way humans behave. They did another test. They saw that if a person can work in a store, for instance, she would never steal $1 or a dime or a penny from the cash register, but she would take the pen home, or perhaps some paper, or perhaps something, because if there is no money value engraved on the object, if there is no price tag, people don't think that is stealing. Isn't it funny? You don't take a penny in your work, but you take a pen that costs perhaps 50 cents, $1, I don't know. This is the way, because we don't see there is a value attached to it. Another thing he did was that he put students in a classroom, and they should fill in a test with many questions. At the end of the test, they would give the students the answers, so they could look at they could check their own test and see how many they did right, how many they did wrong, and they would give themselves the note for that test. Like there was 10 questions, okay, I got 6 right or 5 right. And then they would say, okay, people, we are not going to check your tests. Now you walk here and put your tests in that shredding machine. And everybody brought their tests. They knew now the note, and they put in a shh. And then they could walk to the table, and there was a box with money, with $1 bill money. So they would take how many notes as the note he got in the test. Okay, I got 6 right, I get $6. What they found out is everyone cheated. Because they thought no one would see the test, but the machine was false. The page would go to another compartment, and the shredded paper was a different one. So the researchers, they could then compare, okay, this guy, he got 5 and he took $10. Oh. So he found people. And then he did more tests to understand this kind of human behavior. For instance, if somebody had to write her or his name at the end of a page where he should tell the truth, in all the questions about himself, if he would sign at the end of the page, he would lie more than if he signed on the top of the page. Because signing on the top of the page gave him some responsibility that he should write only the truth. But when it was in the end, he answered all the lies he could, and then, oh, I had to put my name, oh, okay, but I can't go back now. And so other there is one other test they did that was to give them a test with many questions, and before doing the test they should put their hands on a Bible and promise they would tell only the truth. The number of lies came down, were less, even in a class of atheists. Because when you give a person a moral code or a moral responsibility, the person behaves better. Not perfectly, but better. This is religion. This is what religion does to a person. Gives her some parameters so she can behave better, but it doesn't work because there is sin. We are human beings, we are sinners, and we don't need tests to know that we are sinners. The Bible says, the Word of God says, all have sinned. All have sinned. And if we believe the Word of God, we know we are sinners. What the religions didn't know, and the Lord told them, was that the sins were not things that would come from outside. There are many who say, okay, my son is now a criminal because he walked with bad company. No, he had the seed inside him. Perhaps somebody helped to water it, but he had the seed inside him. The Lord said in Matthew chapter 15, verse 19, "For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies, these are things which defile a man." They come from inside. Now, how can I get rid of this terrible monster that lives inside me? I can't by myself. I can do perhaps what the Pharisees, the religious people did. There are two, I'm going to teach you now, two ways of lying and show the people that you were a perfect person. Because the Pharisees did that. First technique, Matthew 23:27. "Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, For you are like unto whited sepulchres, which indeed appear beautiful outward, but are within full of dead men's bones and all of all uncleanness. This is one way. You embellish the outside to look like you are a perfect person. Do you do that? Is that the real color of your hair? Is that, are you tall like that you appear to be? Are you thin? Or is something inside you just making you look like? Perhaps we are always trying to show what we are not. This is the embellishing of the sepulchre. The outside, exterior way to make us look like good person. Religion does that. Religion does that. You know, I have my 3-minute gospel and videos on YouTube. And I received an email, a comment from somebody, and he said, how come you are preaching the gospel? You don't even have a Bible in your hand, and you are wearing a t-shirt. What? In his mind, someone to preach the gospel must look like a pastor or a preacher with tie and a Bible in the hand doing like this. But this is not the gospel. The gospel is the message. The gospel is God's word inviting the sinner to trust the Lord Jesus to be saved. This is the gospel, not a kind of religion. So one way of you to hide what you really are is embellishing your exterior. The other way, the Pharisees did the same. Luke 11:44. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you are as graves, which appear not, and the men that walk over them are not aware of them. This is the second way you can make others think you are a good person. You hide. Because the sepulchres were built outside the ground, painted the beautiful colors and so. That is the exterior way of hiding. The other was a person that was buried, and then they planted some grass on the top of it. No one knows there are bones under that grass, so people walk on it. This is the other way. We hide our sins from other people. One way we embellish our exterior, the other we hide from, but not from God. God knows exactly how we are. God knows exactly what we do. So, a question that cannot be answered by any man in the world is in Jeremiah 13:23. Can the Ethiopian change his skin? Or the leopard, his spots, then may you also do good that are accustomed to do evil. So this question is impossible. The Ethiopian changed the color of his skin. The leopard changed his spots. Impossible. So it's impossible by yourself to change the sinful nature we have inside us that keeps telling lies, that keeps deceiving people, even ourselves. Remember this, every time we tell a lie to ourselves, oh, nobody will know. Now in Brazil, we had a government that was involved in lots of corruption. And then the thing came out. You know, today is very hard to hide everything. So now we have many ministers, the government came down. Many ministers in jail. Many politicians in jail. The CEOs of the largest construction companies in Brazil, the ones that build highways, all the airports and everything, they're in jail. The owners, the CEOs, the directors are in jail. We never saw that in our country. And how they got there? They lied to themselves. They said, okay, I can bribe. Or I can get bribed. I can be bribed. No one will know. We just make an agreement that will be okay. They lied and they believed the lie. Let's look at 1 John chapter 1. Verse 8. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make Him a liar, and His word is not in us. Every time you consider yourself honest, you are telling God is a liar. Yes, because if I am the true one, God is the wrong one. Because I am the pattern. I am the example of honesty, of truthfulness. No, but if God is true, every man is a liar. That was the first verse I spoke in the beginning. In the verse in Romans chapter 7, there is only one way to get out from this condition that every person is to say, oh wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? Brother Bob talked about this body of death this morning. Who will deliver me? The answer, thanks God, is in the following verse. I thank God through Jesus Christ, our Lord. But sometimes we take a time to believe that we are a liar, that we are sinner, that we are going to the lake of fire for our sins. It might take a time. Some people just realize like this, but other people kind of have to walk in denying him his sin, denying his bad heart, denying everything. But if he trusts the Lord, he will get there. Like David. It's something very, very, very amazing how David understood this bad nature of his. If you go to Psalm chapter 7, verse 3, you don't have to open there because I'm going to read this. If you like, you just can just listen. In Psalm 7, verse 3, he wrote, O Lord my God, if I have done this, if there is iniquity in my hands, this is the man, you know. If, he's not recognizing anything. He's just, if I have sinned, if I have done anything wrong. This is the first step David was. He was not convicted. But then the second step comes in Psalm chapter 19, verse 12. Who can understand his errors? Cleanse thou me from secret faults. Okay, he admits now that there might be some faults, but I've never seen. I don't know. I cannot admit. But if there is, please cleanse me. He's not fully convicted again. But then he will see, he will go another step. Psalm 25, verse 7. Remember not the sins of my youth. Oh, very, very, very. He does not admit, but he admits that perhaps back there. We sometimes say this. We say, oh, when I was in my youth, when I was a teenager, I did so many wrong things, but I'm not now. Now I am. I am a serious person. But then, back there, I was, everyone did, you know. All my friends did. I should do also like that. Remember not the sins of my youth. He is not convicted yet. He's blaming his youth. He's not blaming his actual state. His moment now, he's blaming his past. And then comes again another step, Psalm 32, 5. I acknowledged my sin unto thee, and mine iniquity have I not hid. Oh, what a moment this, when you open your heart before God and say, God, there's a hymn, Amazing Grace. You know the words better than I. What a song. Saved a wretch like me. This is when you recognize you are totally lost. And you cannot do anything for yourself to get rid of your sin. And then he goes in another step in Psalm 38, verse 4. For mine iniquities are gone over mine head as a heavy burden. They are too heavy for me. Okay, now I am not able to deal with my sin. It's too much for myself. David is saying this. Have you ever felt or recognized that your sin is too much for yourself? Oh, Mario, but if I do recognize this, I go to hell. Yes, you go to hell. Unless you recognize that there was one who on the cross of Calvary took your sins away. He was made sin in your place, as if you were there receiving the righteous judgment from God because of sin. And then, but to get there, you must understand that the sins are over your head, are too much for you. And in Psalm 51, verse 1, he then completes his path. When it's a Psalm of David, when Nathan the prophet came unto him after he had gone in to Bathsheba. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy lovingness, according to the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. How God can do that? Because Christ shed his blood on the cross to blot out any transgression, any sin of those who trust him as a Savior. Blot out my transgressions. Wash me truly, from mine iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin. Cleanse me from my sin. God can do that. Christ can do that. To the worst sinner, since he comes to this knowledgement of his sin. He recognizes his sin. Recognizes his burden that will take him to the condemnation. Against thee, thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest, and be clear when thou judgest. Now, he owns his sin. He does not point fingers. Oh, I did that because my mother, my father, my friend, my wife, my husband. No, I am guilty. I am guilty. In Romans chapter 3, just a few other verses for us to finish. Romans 3 verse 9, what then? Are we better than they? No, in no wise. For we have before proved both Jews and Gentiles that they are all under sin. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth, there is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doth good. No, not one. Christ paid the price. Are you ready to accept the price that Christ paid? Have you walked in the steps of King David? In which step are you? I hope in the last one, when you recognize fully your guilty. Perhaps you have been gathered because your parents brought you to the meetings. Perhaps for years you have been coming to the meetings. But I ask you, are you sure of your salvation? Just remember 10 years ago in a meeting like this. Is anyone that was there and is not here anymore and his life is anything but a Christian life? So if you are not sure of your salvation, if you are not sure that the Lord Jesus carried your sins, paid for your sins on the cross, this is the moment now to make it right with God, to confess your sins to Him, and to trust the Lord as your Savior. We can pray.